Good morning. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? Okay. I don't like to use this one because I need my hands to do things. So, hope everybody's having a better morning than I am. I'm kind of a little bit on the crazy train right now, trying to get everything together up here. And as I did the call to worship, I didn't call anybody up to pray, and you know, whatever. So here we go, right? All right, so this morning, whoa, can you turn it down just a little bit, Danny? Thank you. So this morning, I want to be talking, I read the parable of the talents earlier because I didn't want to read the whole thing when I was up here when I was doing this, but because the key verse that I want to talk about is Matthew 25:23, and it comes from within that. So a couple weeks, probably a couple months ago or something like that, I was praying at night, as I normally do, and I was praying that God would help me to be a better leader, you know, in my household, over the kids, my wife, of the church, you know, various different, you know, your sphere of influence, right? Praying to be a better leader over those people. And when I was praying that, he spoke to me, and it was like, clearly I heard, it was, you know, one of those times where you know it was God speaking to you. And I clearly heard it, and he just said, hey, you just need to serve. You don't need to be the leader. Christ is leader of the church. You just need to be a servant, and you need to do what you're told. Right? Like, that's what I heard, and I was like, whoa, okay. Well, so that got me to thinking, do I ever pray? I know I didn't pray for myself to be a better servant. And do any of us ever pray that? Because, you know, I never really had that thought until it just came to me, until God just gave it to me. And I realized that I needed to do a better job in my life to imitate Christ's example of servanthood. And it's not that some of us are not called to be leaders. Some of us are, some of us aren't. It's not that some are and some are not, but it's that every time in Scripture when leadership is talked about, it's always through service, especially in the life of Christ. We always see His life. He's serving those around Him and serving those people who He wants to see come to know Him as the Lord of their lives. And so once I started thinking about that, I was like, man, so I started looking through and then it was funny that happened. And I started thinking about that, and then like a couple days later, Travis was like, hey, I'm going to be out of town on the 11th. Can you do the message that morning? And I was like, well, yeah, I've already got it. God already told me what I'm going to talk about, so here we are, right? But, you know, in America, we all kind of tend to want to be leaders. Like, we all want to be the managers. We all want to be looked at as, like, you know, influencer or whatever the case may be. And serving is kind of looked at a lower class thing that, you know, we don't want to do. We think we're above it. We think that it's something that's for other people to do and not for us, right? But when you look through the Bible, and Paul is one of the, you know, strongest Christians that we have record of in the Bible, of course, with the way that he lived his life and the way that he served for Christ. And he always introduced himself as a bondservant, which literally means a person bound in service or a slave of Jesus Christ. And that was what he told people about himself first and foremost when he wrote his letters. You know, I, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. You know, that's how he started out his letters to these people. So do we view ourselves that way? Do we view ourselves as a servant of Christ above all other things in our life? Like, a lot of times, Dale actually talked about this morning in Sunday school. You know, he said, you know, do you view yourself as a servant of Christ, or do you view yourself as R.J. Shelton, I'm an insurance agent, or R.J. Shelton, I'm a father, or I'm a husband of Courtney, or I'm a... you know, whatever the case may be in your life. You know, you all have different jobs. You all have different titles in your life. So do we view ourselves as that person, or do we view ourselves as a servant of Christ first and foremost? So that's what I really wanted to talk about this morning. And, you know, I talked about the parable of talents, but Matthew 25:23 actually says, His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And isn't that what we all want to hear at the end of the day? We all want to hear, enter into the joy of the Lord. I mean, we definitely don't want to hear the other thing, right? The weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to do that. So we all want to hear, enter into the joy of your Lord, good and faithful servant. But if you notice what he says, he doesn't say, well done, good and faithful pastor, or well done, good and faithful deacon, or well done, good and faithful singer or piano player, whatever the case may be, pew sitter. He doesn't say any of those things. He says, right side or left side, right? okay. So he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Sorry. I try not to laugh when I make a joke, but sometimes I do. But he said, well done, good and faithful servant. So what does it actually look like to be a good and faithful servant? So that's what I really want to talk about this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much this morning for the opportunity we have to be here to serve you, Lord, and to be here to hear your word and learn your word, Lord, and to grow closer to you through your word. God, I ask you to let me have the words that you would have me to say. Just give me the spirit to deliver this message in the way that you would have it delivered. And God, I just want to thank you and praise you so much for the opportunity that we have to be saved and to know you as the Lord of our life and our Savior. Praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. So if you look at your bulletins, or the notes in the bulletins, I guess, I actually made a note sheet this week, so y'all have got something to write on, and I did say write on. Nobody got that, okay. all right, so I broke it down into like three basic points, and the first one is, why should we serve? Right, so when you tell your kids something, what's the first thing they always say when you tell them to do something? Why do I need to do that, right? So we'll go ahead and get that out of the way, and we'll talk about the why, and then we'll go on from there. So the first thing is, why should we serve, of course? And then the first part of that is, Jesus is our example, and he was a servant. So that's pretty straightforward. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 tells us, y'all can turn there if you want to, or you don't if you don't want to, that's fine. It tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You know, when you read that, talking about his name being put above every other name and all that, you know, he could have came to us as a conquering king, but instead he came as a suffering servant. And that was for our benefit and for his obedience to the Father. So, he was, you know, when he came on earth, he didn't live exactly a glorious life that you would think of as a lord or as a king. He was verbally assaulted, he was beaten, he was spat on, he was whipped. You know, just think about all the things he went through the week before he went to the cross, right? And he did all of that out of love for us. And he did all of that out of obedience to the Father and the service that he came to do for us. You know, and a lot of times people think, oh, well, you know, they did these things to him and he was captured by the Roman guard and all this, but we know that he did it out of service because we saw in Gethsemane, you know, when the Roman soldiers came to arrest him and he says, I am, and they all fall down and there's hundreds of them, you know, they couldn't hold him down. Like, if he wanted to, he could have just ended all of that and just took over that, but he didn't because that wasn't his service that was to be done to us. So we know that they were no match for him, and he did it out of love and he did it out of service. So the second part of the turn my page too fast. The second part of the why we should serve is very similar to the first, but if the Lord came as a servant, should we not follow his example? And I'm going to talk about James and John for a second here, the sons of thunder, as we affectionately like to refer to them. But they had asked Jesus to be placed at his right and his left when he you know, takes power. Because, you know, at this point they still kind of were thinking maybe an earthly kingdom from Jesus. But they had asked to be placed at his right and left side. And Matthew 20, 24 through 28 tells us, and when the 10 heard it, that's the other disciples, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. He's talking about the Gentile leaders who, you know, rule with an iron fist and you know, tell the people exactly what to do, and everything is to make themselves stronger, to make their kingdom stronger, to make themselves more rich, whatever the case may be. But all the things that these rulers and kings do are out of selfish ambition. And so then Jesus goes on and says, yet it shall not be among you. For whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that's a complete, like, 180-degree difference from what the world was doing at that time and from the culture, and even today. You know, that's not at all our culture. That's completely opposite and countercultural of what the society that we live in today tells us. So he's teaching us to not be like the world, especially like, you know, the leaders of the world. He's telling us that we have to be different. We're not to be ones that are just trying to be propped up in front of everyone and have all the power and all the glory that comes with being a leader. So he's telling them this is not the way to do things. So, you know, and as it goes on here in verse 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be served, he gave his life as a ransom for many. And, you know, this is actually the next, I think, in your bulletin point. He made the ultimate sacrifice of laying down his life for us. So that's something that sometimes I think as Christians, especially if we've been a Christian for a long time, that I think we can kind of lose a little bit the magnitude of the fact that Christ came and who he was, and yet he still laid down his life for us. The Creator of all things came to earth and died so that we can have a relationship with him. I mean, that's, again, I'm going to go back to saying, you know, it's a complete 180-degree difference from what we live in now. I mean, how different is that from what we see? You know, when we see, you know, leaders of the world, we'll see the president, and he's walking around, he's got Secret Service guys, whether he knows they're there or not. He's got these Secret Service guys, and they're supposed to lay down their life for him, right? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus came, and he said, you know what, I'm laying down my life for all of you. And that was the biggest act of service that we have seen historically. And, you know, we have to follow that service. And the next thing on that point of why we are to serve is that we're called to. So I talked a lot about him giving us example of the way he lived his life, but he also commanded it. He told us to do that. So he in John 13, 12 through 14, he tells us, you know, and y'all know this example. When I start reading, everybody's going to know what it is. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If even then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet." So he tells them what they're to do, that they're to serve each other by washing the feet. And, you know, these are some nasty feet, guys. This is not like if I take my shoes off and say, hey, well, I'll wash my feet or whatever. I took a shower this morning, right? So it's not that bad. These dudes probably hadn't showered in weeks, and they're walking around in mud and sandals. So this is like nasty feet. This is something that was, you know, it was a task that was for the lowliest of the low of the servants. Like, some servants didn't even wash the feet of other people. It was just for the lowest of the low. But yet, here's the Lord who they have recognized at this point to be their leader and their teacher. He gets down and he washes their feet and he tells them, hey, you've got to do this to others. And, you know, and it's also a call to us that everything that we're called to do is not going to be something that we're going to enjoy. You know, in the kingdom of Christ, everything that we do is not going to be glorious. It's not going to be enjoyable. It's not going to be fun. But it's things that we're called to do. Now, some of it is. Like, I enjoy, you know, getting together and fellowshipping with one another and learning about the Word. But there's going to be times that things are not enjoyable that we have to do and that we have to do for Christ. And that's something that we have to look at as part of the service part that Christ has called us to do. Right, so that's the why. That's kind of the quick point, because it's two fast, easy points of why we're to serve him. Now, the next thing we're going to talk about is the who. So who are we to serve? And that's number two in your bulletins, if you're following along with me. Who am I serving? So the Bible's pretty clear in Matthew that we can only serve one master. Verse 24 tells us, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be loyal to one and despise the other. So you can't serve God and mammon. So who are we serving today? When you think about your life and what you're doing throughout your day, you know, your week, your month, who are we serving? Are we serving Jesus, or are we serving Satan? Or are you serving yourself? Which, if you're serving yourself, you might as well answer that you're serving Satan, because you can't serve Christ and serve yourself. And that's a hard truth. And, you know, I struggle with that because, you know, there's plenty of wants and desires that we have in our lives. Like, we all want to do certain things each day. We want to, you know, we want to do things to better our lives, we think. you know. But really, at the end of the day, we need to focus on serving Him and making sure that our wills align with His. And I think that that is something that I know that I struggle with. And, you know, when you don't align your will with His, you can't really live up to your full potential in His kingdom. And His kingdom work is His work. You know, it's not ours. Matthew, I know I'm reading these super fast, and if y'all was following, you'd be turning pages like crazy. Matthew 10, 34 through 39 tells us, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross to follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, I've always thought that was a pretty strong message in Scripture. It's strong language, you know, and it's hard. It's a hard truth. And, you know, and when I read that, the first thing I think about is some of the stories of missionaries that we've read, you know, over. We read a book, I want to say it was written by Nick Ripken. I'm not 100% sure that that's the one, but I think it was. He was a missionary, and he was in third world countries and things like that. But, you know, we all try to put our kids' needs pretty high on our list of priorities, right? If everyone has kids, most of you have kids, some of you don't, some of you do. We all put our kids' needs on a pretty high level of our priorities list. And in this story that we were reading about him, he had gone to a third world country, I don't remember where, but he had gone to a third world country and taken his wife and kids with him. And he was serving, and he was trying to make the name of Christ known to the people that he had went to. And his son got sick. And, you know, in the third world, I mean, they don't have medicine like we do. You know, if you get sick here, you go down to the pharmacy, get some medicine. If it's really bad, you go to the hospital, and they admit you and put some stuff in your veins and kind of try to get you better. But he was in a third world, so there's no, you know, medicine like that. And his child, I want to say it was asthma attack, but his child actually died from an asthma attack while he was in this third world country serving. Well, that's counting the cost. I mean, that's a hard thing to read about, and it really can kind of tear you up thinking about that this man took his family and he put Christ so much above himself and above his own desires and whatever that his child passed away because of where he was. I mean, that's horrible to think about. And recently there was a story of a guy. He was actually from Knoxville. One of the guys I work with, his church supported this missionary, and he was in somewhere in the Middle East. I'm not sure exactly where, but he was somewhere in the Middle East, and he was killed as a missionary. You know, he was dragged out of his car. He was driving somewhere, and they drug him out of his car and killed him in front of his family. And he was from Knoxville, I think, is where he was from, and it was recent. But, you know, those people, you read those stories, and it's like, how in the world could they do this? I mean, that's like amazing service that they're putting themselves in. And are we all called to do that? I don't think so. I don't think we all are called to do that. Some will be, and some are not. And that's something that I would really, really struggle with, to be able to do something like that. When you think about going to a place like, you know, many of the third world of countries that we think about, it's like, yeah, well, I could probably go and do that myself. But when it comes to taking your wife and your kids, like, that's a whole new level of commitment. And, you know, would we be willing to do that commitment and put that sacrifice out there to truly serve Him? I don't know. I mean, I hope I would. But, you know, you never really know until you're faced with that. So, you know, we have to serve Him. The next part of that, the B part of that, is that we're commanded. So first one, of course, was we're commanded to serve Him. And then the second part is we're commanded to serve others in our service of Christ. Galatians 5, 13 through 14 tells us, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you should love your neighbor as yourself." And, you know, something that I want you to notice here, and this may be something good to talk about in small groups tonight, because I think it's a fine line that we have to walk, is we are called to serve others, but we're not necessarily called to please others. So there's a big difference between pleasing man and seeking the approval of man and pleasing God and seeking the approval of God. So we are called to serve others, but we are only called to please the Lord and not man. You know, there's a lot of times that you'll see, I saw something earlier this week. It was called a woke church. I mean, that's crazy to me. But, you know, they were just basically allowing anybody to come into the church, which we do allow anyone to come into the church, right? It doesn't matter what your sins are. We allow you to come into the church, but we want to see you be saved and turn your life over to Him. But the whole purpose of this church was you'd come in and you'd sing your songs and, you know, but it was one of those, you're fine just the way you are. You don't have to make any changes. God loves you just like you are. That's seeking to please people. That's not seeking to please the Lord. Seeking to please the Lord would be getting people into the church that are just like all of us that have sin in their lives, but realizing that we need to repent and we need to turn and change and die to ourselves. But, you know, a lot of these people out there nowadays are not doing it, and they're doing it because they want to build up themselves. You know, they want to build up that particular church or that particular pastor or that particular congregation. You know, whatever the case may be in that thing. But, you know, we're called to sacrifice a lot in our lives, in our service to Christ, but we cannot sacrifice the gospel and the actual meaning of the gospel, which is that He is our Lord and Savior. And to get the Savior part, you have to have the Lord part. And, you know, sometimes we won't please people even when we're serving them. I mean, you know, you think about going out and helping people and doing things for people. There's a big difference there kind of between service, I guess, and volunteering. Maybe that kind of falls into that realm. You know, you think about going out and volunteering for things. You know, it's not really, you can do that with service to the Lord, but it's kind of a different thing. Like a lot of times you're seeking to please people when you're volunteering versus actually giving them what they need, which is the gospel and which is Christ. So we're not called to try to please people. We're not a waiter. You know, you think about the old cartoon, The Jetsons. Anybody remember that? I used to love that cartoon when I was a kid. But they had the little robot, what's her name, Rosie, that would run around, she had the wheel, and she'd run around and do whatever they told them to do. Like, we're not that. That's not what we're called to do as Christians. We're not butlers and servants or, you know, slaves of these people. But we are called to serve them through the love of Christ for His glory. And that's the big thing that we have to remember when we're serving in the name of Christ. It's all for His glory and not for ourselves. And so we've talked about the why I serve, and we've talked about who I serve. But now we're going to talk about the how, which is kind of the bigger part of our daily lives. Because I think most of us know why we need to serve, and most of us know who we're serving. But let's talk about the how for a little bit here. So how do I serve Him? So first and foremost, to serve, we have to obey the will of God and His calling on your life in His kingdom. And we have to remember all the time that it's His kingdom and not ours. You know, that's something that I know we can easily struggle with at times is, you know, we're all busy. We all get up in the morning and rush around and get to work and get home and try to get dinner made. And then the time you do all that, it's time to go to bed. You know, we feel like we're just our own little pathway that we're doing each day is just so full that we don't have any time for anything else. But we have to remember everything that we do is within His kingdom. And sometimes we have to do stuff that we don't want to do. You know, I remember when me and Courtney first started doing Awana and helping with the kids programs, like I would rather have cleaned the toilets in this church than to help with the kids. I would rather even clean the kids' toilets than to help with the kids, right? So you have to do things that you don't want to do because God will use those things to teach you. Like, I've learned so much with working with the kids, whether it be, you know, just the importance that it is for these kids to see the adults in their lives praying with them and teaching them about the Word and, you know, telling them about Christ and showing them the way that they need to live, even if it's for an hour on Wednesdays and maybe an hour on Sunday mornings. You know, I've learned a lot through that, you know, and you can learn a lot from kids. I remember when we started, when Harper was very little, when we first started reading to her, we bought her a Jesus Storybook Bible, and it was like you know, this little kid's Bible, but it was really good. And we're reading it every night to her, and I'm like, man, I'm learning a lot. I must be really dumb because I'm learning a lot from this kid's Bible that's made to be read on like a second, two-year-old reading level, not second grade, it's two-year-olds. And here I am learning from it. And you know, but that's just an example that God can use all things in your life to grow you and to teach you about Himself and about how you need to live for Him and how you need to serve for Him. And, you know, even like getting up here and doing this, like when I don't really like talking in front of people. You know, if you'd have told me 2 or 3 years ago that I'm going to get up here and do a Sunday morning service, I would have like had a panic attack and been like, nope, no, not happening. No, yeah. I mean, in college, I remember we had to do a presentation in front of our class. And we were given the option to do a 5-minute presentation live or a 15-minute presentation that was on video that we just popped in and showed. I did the 15-minute because I did not want to get in front of people and talk. So, you know, and it just shows you that throughout history in the Bible, God uses people, servants, who did not want to serve. You know, Moses, he didn't want to serve. He couldn't talk, right? Said he couldn't talk or whatever, and God used him mightily. But people throughout the Bible that did not want to serve or that didn't feel capable of serving or that other people didn't feel capable to serve, He used them. You know, the apostles are a great example of that. When you read through, the Pharisees are seeing them, and they're like, these guys are uneducated fishermen. How are they preaching like this? You know, it's because God had His Spirit within them, teaching them, and they had followed Christ. And so they were doing His will, and they were doing the things the way that He would have them to serve, and they were sacrificing their own time and about, you know, their own wants and desires. They were sacrificing those things to follow Him. John 6:38 tells us, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to the will of Him who sent me." And if, you know, if Christ came to do the will of the Father, that's what we are called to do as well, because He's our great example, so we're supposed to follow Him. The next way we can serve is we can use the gifts that God has given us for His glory. So He has given all of us different gifts. You know, we read about the parable of the talents a few minutes ago. Some of them He gave, you know, 5 talents to invest, and some of them He gave 2, and one of them He gave 1. But He gives all of us different talents in our lives and different gifts. You know, I guess the best way to say that. So how do we use those? That's something that we need to think about on a personal level, is how am I using the gifts that God has given to me to use? 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 tells us that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So that's telling us right there that each of us have different ways of doing things. You know, Dale's gift is not my gift. Travis's gift is not Stephen's gift. You know, it's everybody has a different gift that Christ has given to them to use for His service and for His kingdom. So like the parable that I talked about, He's given us all something, but what are we doing with it? Are we investing it? Are we investing it by, you know, taking the talent that He gave me and investing it into someone else to try to grow the kingdom? Or are we doing like the other guy who just kind of takes your talent and take it to South Beach and hang out, right? Because we have to use those things or else it's a waste. You know, I remember, you know, you talk about budgeting. When I used to be a manager at Walgreens, some of y'all know I used to work there. But if you didn't use the budget that they would give you every week, they would take it away. They're like, well, you're running your store and you're not using the budget, so we're going to take it away. So that's kind of the same thing here. Like, God gives us these talents. We need to use them. Could He take them away? I don't know if He would or not. But if we're not using them, no reason to have it. There's no point in having it if you're not going to use them. So, again, everybody has different gifts. So some are given, you know, some of the gifts that we're given, some are given time to invest. You know, some people have more time than others. I feel like right now that's like the most precious commodity that I have because there's none of it. You know, time, because you're just always constantly busy. But some are given time to invest in their community, their church, their just the relationships of the people they have around them. Some are given money. Some people are given different sets of, you know, different skill sets. Like, if I went over here and played this piano, y'all would think a dog was just jumping up and down on it. It's horrible. But Stephen plays it, and it sounds amazing, right? So we're all given different skill sets to use, and we have to use them for His glory. And you know, the hard part of that is making sure that we're using it for Him and not to, like, I guess Hallie says, boost yourself up. She says that a lot when we're talking about, like, you know, putting yourself on a pedestal. She'll say, boost up, boost yourself up. And, you know, and that's an easy trap to fall into. It's a trap that you can fall into even if you don't necessarily want to fall into that trap or mean to fall into that trap, you know, of seeking, like, not necessarily fame, but I guess recognition is a better word for it, like seeking recognition for things. I mean, you know, when I, the first time I got up here and did this, it was very hard for me afterward, you know, people's telling you, oh, it's a good job. You know, it was very hard for me to say, God did that, not me. You know, because you start thinking, well, man, I might be pretty good at this. This might be something I'm actually decent at, you know. But really, at the end of the day, you have to realize that it's not you that did that or not me that did that. God gave me the words. God gave me the way to talk about it, right? So it's hard to really focus on putting everything to His kingdom at times in our lives because we are fallen and we are human. But that's something that I think we need to think about when we're in our service to Him and when we're using our talents is that, you know, these talents are not ours. They were given to us, but they're not ours. They're His. The next point here is serve gladly. You know, service with a smile, if you think about it that way. This old retail thing, you know, don't go, or what was it? We had a sign on the backs of our doors when I worked for Walgreens. When you walked out from the where you clocked in at, there was a sign and it said, you're not in full uniform without your smile. It's cheesy, right? But it's true. Like, we have to be gladly serving Him. So, you know, being the Christmas season, I mean, obviously we've got the beautiful lights and trees up here. We know this is Christmas season. But Mary is a great example of someone who served gladly and who was thankful to God for using her, even though it came at pretty great discomfort to her and, you know, it wasn't something easy in her life. It was a big cost to her. You know, she was an unmarried young woman who is all of a sudden pregnant. That's not really a place you want to be in that time. Like today, it's kind of, you know, whatever. You don't really think much about that. But in this time, it was, man, put her out in the streets. You know, we don't want her here. But she dealt with this discomfort and this cost that it cost her with grace. And she was thankful. And she did it with no arguments, no qualms, no questions asked. The only question that she asked was, how is this possible? Which I think we can all agree is a pretty fair question. But she didn't argue. You know, when the angel of the Lord came to her and told her that she was going to be having a baby and His name was going to be Jesus and she was going to be, or He was going to be the Lord. In Luke 1:38, she says, behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. So she just said, yes, I'll take that. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Let it happen to me as you've said it. So she didn't, I mean, that's baffling to me that she just, you know, which I guess every time we read about angels, they say, do not fear. So they're probably terrifying to see an angel come down. So, I mean, I guess anything they say, you're kind of like, okay, yes, sir, whatever you say, dude. But but she didn't argue. She didn't question it. She didn't say, God, why me? Why can't you wait until I'm married? Why can't you wait for this? Or why can't you do it on my time? Why can't you do it when I want it to be? Like, this is not a good time for me right now. I'm trying to get married here. Planning the wedding, you know? And she didn't say any of that. And she was a teenage girl. And she served so selflessly that it really just kind of makes you feel about this tall when you think about it, you know, if you think about it in that way. And the next one kind of goes along with that, with her selfless service, is destroy pride in your life and serve humbly. And, you know, we're all Americans here. Go America, right? We already lost the World Cup, but that's soccer. So it doesn't matter. Let's see. Oh, good. Where am I? I've lost my place. I'm sorry. Let's see. So, okay. So we're all Americans, and generally, we all want to be seen. We kind of want to be out in the front. We want to be, you know, influencers. We want to be people who are looked at as like, look at that person. Man, he's so cool. You know, we want to be like that. But as Christians, that's not really how we're called to live our lives. As Christians, we're called to be okay with being in the shadows, like just being unknown in the background with Christ in the foreground and Christ out front. And that's a hard thing to think about because so much, you know, is said today about who the person is or what they've done or, you know, who's the famous actor now, you know, who these people are. Everybody wants to be known and stuff like that. But as Christians, that's not how we're to live. You know, we're supposed to be overshadowed by Him. We're supposed to be the person who just kind of takes a back seat and says, okay, you do it. Let me be in your service, right? And John the Baptist, you know, is a great example of that. Because I would imagine that it would have probably been pretty easy for him to have gotten kind of a big head and to been, you know, ready to prop himself up and say, hey, look at me, you know, I've got all these servants, people that were following, not really servants, but all these people that were following him, all these people, I mean, he's baptizing hundreds or thousands, I don't really know how many people he baptized, but he baptized Christ. I mean, he baptized the Lord. That kind of gives you a pretty big, you know, feather in your cap to put in there, right? I mean, and he was the forerunner for Christ, and he knew it. He knew he was. And he did not get that big head, you know. He didn't get caught up in it being about John. He always kept it focused where the focus needed to be. And John 1:26 and 27, you know, his followers are talking to him, and you know, they're talking about Jesus is baptizing people and this and that. But John answers to them and says, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. And then he goes on in John 3:30 and says, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, Travis says that a lot. I hear him talk about that a lot when he's doing his messages. And, you know, it's a very simple statement. You know, what, 8 words? He must increase, but I must decrease. But John knew his place, and he knew where he stood in the grand scheme of the kingdom. He knew that he wasn't the first. He wasn't the second. He wasn't at the top. Christ was. And he knew that he was serving others by doing baptisms and by, you know, giving the word that he had been given to the people as he's out preaching in the woods. But he always pointed back to Christ, and he always focused his messages and everything that he did pointed back to Christ. And he didn't seek to draw these followers to himself. He didn't, you know, seek to be known. He was known, and he did have followers, but he wasn't seeking those things. But we have to do the same thing in that we have to lay aside, you know, our pride that we have in our achievements or the things that we've done or the abilities that we have. You know, we like I said a minute ago, we've all got different abilities, but we've got all these abilities, and we have to show others the way to Him through those abilities. We're not the way He is. We are the way that some people may see Him. He may use us to be the way that people kind of are pointed in that direction in something that we're told to say or in some way that we, you know, interact with people around us. But we're not the way that they need to change. We're not the one that does the changing. We're just a tool in His belt to make the change happen. The next part is very similar. The next one is die to yourself and serve selflessly, which kind of similar to the last one, but I had a few more things I wanted to say on it, so I just added it on as a separate point. But, you know, we're to die to ourselves, and we talked about that again this morning in Sunday school. It's so funny how sometimes the Sunday school lesson just lines up with what we're talking about. In here, you know, a lot of mornings it does, and it's funny because Dale had no idea what I was talking about. I had no idea what it said in the quarterly, but here we are talking about a lot of the same similar things. So die to yourself and serve selflessly. So He's greater than we are. And if He's truly our Lord, we have to give ourselves over to His will, right? Not our will, but His will be done. And we have to give ourselves over to that. And this morning we were talking about it. It was when, you know, he's calling the disciples. Christ is going through and He's calling the disciples. And He changes their names. Like, it's like, dude, this is my name. Like, why are you going to change it? But, you know, Dale brought up the good point that He's changing everything about them. They're dying to themselves and they're a new person. So why would you not have a new name, right? It's pretty simple when you think about it. I mean, because I used to wonder that when I would read the Bible. I'm like, why did He change their names? Like, that seems kind of silly. But He's changing everything about them. They're dying, and a new, what does it say in the Bible? The old me has died, and I'm a new creation in Christ. So we have to die to ourselves, and we have to give ourselves to His will. And, you know, the thing about His will and Him being Lord, I mean, a lot of times we talk about Him being Savior, but we have to remember that He's also Lord. And the thing about Him being Lord is it's not like He's our boss or He's our president, where, you know, some of the things He says, we can just kind of go in one ear and out the other, and the rest, some of it we'll take. If we like it, yeah, we'll do that. I like that. That sounds good. Let's do that. The rest of it, somebody else can do that, not me. We have to take everything he says. It's not a buffet. We're not at the Golden Corral. You can't take the meat and leave the vegetables and green stuff behind, which is what I would do. But we can't do that. We have to take it all. We have to take every command he says is just as important as the last, no matter if we like it or if we don't. So dying to yourself comes a lot of times with sacrifice. You know, I talked about sacrifice a few minutes ago with missionaries. And, you know, hopefully none of us have to ever sacrifice like that in our lives. I pray we don't. We may, but I pray that we don't. But, you know, it does come with sacrifice. And some of those sacrifices can be a lot, you know, different than what I talked about. It could be you have to sacrifice your time, or you're called to sacrifice some money, or you're called to sacrifice even, you know, even family members or friends. You may be called to sacrifice those people out of your life, because if someone is a bad influence in your life, sometimes you have to just get that out of your life. You know, we would want to get those people to know Christ, but at times you just have to cut people off and cut them out of your life to grow to know him better. Now, you would pray that you could bring these people to know him, but sometimes you have to sacrifice people out of your life. Or maybe it's a short-term sacrifice where you just have to kind of space yourself away from someone or something in your life for a while to follow his will. But, you know, there's a lot of times that dying to yourself is countercultural. You know, because nowadays, die to yourself isn't really something that we see in our lives as far as cultural-wise. You know, everything is about, if that's how you feel and that's what your heart desires, then that's what's right. You know, Courtney was talking about, you know, she read something about all these Disney movies are all about follow your heart. You know, they all follow your heart. Follow your heart. Don't follow the will of God, but follow your heart. Follow what you want. And that's, you know, it's a small thing. You know, we watch it in movies, and it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, look at her. She sailed across the ocean. You know, she did all these things. But really, following your heart is not in the will of God, unless your heart is so intertwined with his will that, and that's what he wants, right? He wants our will to be his will and to line up with the word. And that's how we're called to, when it says in the Bible, what's the verse? Ask anything. I forgot the verse. I didn't write this one down. This just kind of came to me. But ask anything in his will and it will be done for you. Right? It doesn't say ask anything and it will be done for you, because if I could ask anything and it will be done for me, I would be a NASCAR driver. But you know, that's not really in God's will probably for me to do that. So, but if we have ourselves, like, you know, if our will is we want to see our family members saved and to come to know him, then we can ask him with pretty boldness and expectation that he's going to save those people. And, you know, we can pray for that, and we can know that it's going to happen because he says, ask in his will. And that's part of dying to yourself, is that your will is no longer your will. It's his will at that time. And you know, could be something that you could be kind of condemned for, you know, because sometimes in the world, you know, right is looked at as wrong, and, you know, wrong is looked at as right. So you could be looked at as, you know, not a loving person at times when you follow the will of Christ. John 15, and that is what he's going to go over here in John 15, 18 through 21. And this is pretty strong language from Christ. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I have said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So basically he's saying, hey, look what they did to me. Well, do you think they're going to treat you any differently? Because, you know, at the end of the day, he was the one that was beaten and hung on the cross, and we're following him, and that's who we choose to follow. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that it's a hard truth that we have to do, but a lot of things in life are a hard truth. You know, I was watching, I really like college football, and I was watching a press conference this week with Coach Prime. Y'all may know who that is. You may not. It's Deion Sanders. He calls himself Coach Prime. But he took a new job at a college, And he came in, basically, and he told these guys, hey, look, you're doing it my way, or you're doing it the highway. If you don't like it, hit the portal and get out of here. I'm bringing my guys with me, and we're going to be hard workers and fast, and, you know, all these different things he told them. But basically, the same thing is, you know, and people looked at that, and they said, I can't believe he would say that to these kids. I can't believe he would tell these kids that they're going to do it his way or no way. He was ostracized for it, right? For saying that, but he's the coach, so he's supposed to be able to do things the way he wants to. And I'm not saying that, you know, he's always right. I do think he's a Christian, though. He's got some pretty interesting stuff out there, so I haven't really read a lot about him. But anyway, that's kind of completely off topic. But we're supposed to do his will and do things the way that he told us to do them. We're not supposed to, you know, do our own way. We don't. You're not a team guy if you do your own way, right? So, if you're not going to follow him, maybe you'll jump in the portal or realize that, hey, I need to follow him the way he's called me to do it. Because if you're going halfway, you might as well not even do any of it, right? Either all the way or none of the way. All right, where did I kind of got completely off topic somewhere here. All right, so he is greater than us, and we have to put his will above his, and we have to live it out, right? Well, I already talked about all that. Okay, so the last way that I'm going to talk about that we can serve him is to serve in our church, right here, right? And some of you are like, I'm already serving. I'm serving enough. But, you know, we all are called to serve in our church, to use the talents that we talked about that God gave us in our local body of believers, right? You know, the Bible makes the church out, it paints a picture of a body, and for good reason, right? Because we're all different parts of that body. Some people are arm. You know, some people are the foot. Travis likes to say he's the foot, right? Some people, you know, are toes. Some people are fingers. Some people are arms. You know, everybody is a different part that makes the body work. And, you know, I know we have pretty good medical advances nowadays where, you know, they, you know, have these pretty elaborate, like, legs that you can get if you've had a leg taken off or whatever. But your body doesn't work fully if you don't have all of your parts and pieces, right? So that's how the church is. The church is very much the same as your body, and we all have to be used in his will in one accord. And now, you don't want different things doing different stuff, right? Like, if you're doing something, you don't want your hand over here trying to, like, do one thing while you're trying to, you know, run a mile. You don't want your hand trying to, like, reach out and grab stuff randomly on its own, right? So we all have to serve the same way, and the way we serve is through following his will, because his will is the same. He uses each of us differently, but his will is the same for each and every one of us. You know, 1 Peter, this is in your notes, I forgot to, I had a mistype here. It's supposed to be 1 Peter 4:10. I think it just says 1 Peter 4. We're not going to read the whole chapter of 1 Peter 4. We're just going to read number 10. But as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, and I underline stewards there because we're supposed to be good stewards of the talents that he gave us. And we're stewards of those talents because it all comes from him. Like, that's not really our talent. That's his talent that he has bestowed upon us to use for his glory. You know, and a lot of the things that I talked about a minute ago are the same things you can do in your church. Give money to your church. It takes money to run the church. Give your time. It takes people to run the church and to make Christ's name known in the community. Help with kids. Shameless plug, but we need a Sunday school helper, a backup person. So if somebody wants to be a Sunday school teacher backup, let me know. I'd be glad to get you lined up with some kids to help out in, you know, on Sunday mornings. It's a great time. We have a good time doing that. Some of us do. What else? Step outside of your comfort zone, right? So step out of your... I'm the worst when it comes to actually sharing the gospel with people. I don't know why. I just, when I talk to people, I like freak out and like just shut down. Like, I don't know. I'm bad at doing it. And I need to pray for him to help me to be better at that. But it's definitely out of my comfort zone to walk up and talk to somebody. Like, Travis talks about doing that a lot. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he went up and just talked to somebody. Ugh, that's nerve wracking. Like, I don't like talking to people when I know them, much less than the ones I don't know. I'm kidding. I like talking to people. Some of you. But we have to do those things, right? We have to step out of our comfort zone to share his word. And we have to invite people to church. We have to invite people to, you know, to our homes for small groups or to, you know, make meals for people or invite people over for dinner. Love those people who don't have family members, especially like at the holidays. Like, you know, there's always people who you hear about. The holidays are the hardest time for a lot of people because they don't have any family. Like, we need to, as a body, we need to gather around those people and, hey, you know, you have a family here. It's our church family. You know, we should be as close with our church family as we are our, you know, biological families, because we're going to be spending eternity with all of y'all. I know some of you are looking at me like, I don't know about spending eternity with that guy, but hey, you'll get to, right? We're all many parts of the same body. I already talked about that. So how do we use all these things that we've talked about in our church, right? How do we do that? So that's something that is a great topic of discussion in small groups tonight. If you're not in small groups, you need to go talk about it. Join in on the fun. We have a great time. Sometimes we eat. Sometimes we have fun. Sometimes we always have fun, I think, but, you know, some people may not, but whatever. But, yeah, y'all should come to small groups because we can talk about these things. How can we use the things that God has given us in His service? You know, we had a really good small group a couple months ago, and we talked about a lot of things that we could do in the community that serve Him and it could maybe bring people to know Him and bring people to the church. And, you know, obviously our goal is always to get people to know Him. And the reason for getting people in the church is not so that we have a full pews of people and, you know, lots of people sitting here on Sunday mornings. We want people that are actually going to serve Him. But most of all, we want them to know Him and serve Him as their Lord and Savior. So, and the good news about all this stuff is that Jesus has already done the biggest service to us by giving His life for our sins with His death, burial, and resurrection, right? So we don't have to do that part of it. We can't do that part of it. But we do need to serve those around us. And, you know, with serving those people around us, it doesn't matter how well we try to serve those people and how well we do serve those people and how well we serve Him, we can't earn our own salvation. So, you know, He's already done that for us. So if you haven't ever believed in Him for your salvation, then you need to think about that. You need to think heavily about that, because that's the most important decision you can make in your life. And I would beg you to come up today and turn your life over to Him and, you know, sacrifice yourself for His kingdom and for His glory. But if you don't know Him today, please do that, and please come down and let Him know. And we're going to open the altar up so that y'all can come. If you even want to come up here and pray, hey, God, how can I better serve You? How can I better be a servant in Your kingdom? You know, you can come up here and talk to Him about that. And you can, and if you don't know Him, by all means, please come up here and accept Him as your Savior, so that you can assure yourself that you know, the day when you go and meet Him, that you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because that's what we all aspire to hear, and that's what we should all want to hear in our lives. You know, but far more than that, we need to help other people come to know Him as well. But I'm going to pray, and I'll ask our musicians to come up, and we will be happy to serve alongside of one another, right? Lord God, we thank You so much this morning for the message that You have given to us, Lord. I ask You to use it to go forth to grow Your kingdom, Lord. Help us to grow closer to You. Help us to know You better. Lord, help us to find You as the Lord of our life and the leader of our church. And Lord, that we would be willing to sacrifice for You, that we would be willing to use our time and our talents for Your kingdom, and that we would be that we would not focus upon ourselves or upon the things that we have done, but, Lord, the things that You have done. And I praise You for all that You do, Lord, and I ask You that if anyone here doesn't know You this morning as Savior and Lord of their lives, that they would come today and know You. Let today be the day of their salvation, that they would, the angels in heaven would rejoice as they accept You as Lord of their life. And God, I just praise You and thank You so much for the opportunity that You've given to us this morning to hear Your word. And if anything I've said has not been right, Lord, let it be struck from our minds so that we would never remember it. But God, let us to know that Your will is above all. And I praise and thank You for everything. In Jesus Christ's holy name I pray. Amen.
Just as I am with Please join me in closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, we are here today not upon what we have done, but Father, we are here because we are sinners. And we are here because you loved us so much that you sent your Son. And Father, that we can be restored with you, and let us never lose sight or lose focus of that. And Father, as we've heard your message today about servanthood, let us realize that it's only through you that we may serve at the capacity of which you have called us to serve. We can only serve because of you. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to share your love and your will with us as we grow closer as a congregation, as we read your word, as we pray. Father, you will reveal to us. So we pray that you would do that. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would serve you in a capacity in which you have called us to serve. Father, we thank you and we love you for all that you've done. We pray that as we go throughout this week that you would keep us safe. Father, we pray that as we go throughout this week we would have Christ upon our lips and we would share Christ with the world around us. Give us the boldness and the strength to do that. Father, keep us safe till we meet again. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.